We're going to jump in here. Now, we've been reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So this is where we really get into the different spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant."
Come on.
So, you know, the Lord really wants us to understand what these gifts are and how to use them and how they operate. And this is really important because, you know, as we've already mentioned, these gifts are for the profit of all, for the benefit of others. So let me, you know, one of the gifts, and we're going to get through, we're going to break these down, but I want to preface this section with this. The gifts operating through us are for the benefit of the body. In other words, we operate in gifts to benefit others, not to benefit ourselves. Amen. Okay, so, you know, one of the questions that comes up quite frequently in this is, how comes that there is a spiritual gift, the gift of healings, plural, okay, but yet if you look back through church history, you'll often find that there are many healing evangelists mm-hmm. that die sick.
Right.
And sometimes they die of a sickness or a condition which they'd seen healed in many people that they'd prayed mm-hmm. for. That doesn't even make sense. Did they do something wrong? Is God holding something back on them? What is the situation with that? Why are these healing evangelists dying sick? Let me explain this to you. It is because the spiritual gifts which they are operating in are working through them for the benefit of others, not for themselves. Mm-hmm. In other words, the spiritual gifts of healings, the working of miracles, faith, these things that produce manifestations of healing in people, when somebody operates in that gift, that's going to breakthrough in another person's body. But if they get sickness in their own body, they can't then turn around and use the gifts which are designed for other people on themselves. Mm. Okay, that is an entirely different mechanism at work. So, and I know this is gonna open a can of worms. That's why I'm starting with it intentionally. Okay, the gifts are to minister to the body. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that healing's not available for us
right.
as believers. What it means is we need to have an understanding of our authority in Christ.
Yeah.
And this is a whole nother topic, but as believers, we have authority over works of the enemy, which yeah. sickness and disease is a work of the enemy, right? We've been given all power and oh. all authority over all sickness and all disease.
Amen. That's the truth. Right
Amen.
Now.
Says it multiple times through the gospel. So when we are speaking to situations and sickness in our own body, when we need healing in our own body, we're not operating the gift of the Spirit. We are using our God-given authority that we have been given through Jesus. That is the mechanism we are using to see sickness and disease leave our own personal bodies. Okay,
right.
So that is different. And so that explains, you know, there are some healing evangelists in church history that may have operated very strongly in spiritual gifts, but did not have a revelation of their own authority as a believer. So when it came to sickness and disease in their own body, they didn't have an understanding of that mechanism or the authority that they had, and so they died of the very sickness that they were seeing cast out of many other people. Mm. Amen. So I wanted to clear that up. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us,
yeah.
but it is for the profit of the body.
I hate to interrupt. Mm-hmm. If you want questions, write your questions in there. I'm gonna take notes on the questions. So at the end of the lesson, we can ask you all the questions,
yeah.
so not to interrupt you. But there is one question that's so prominent, I thought it'd be good. It says, what about the gift of faith, the spiritual gift of faith?
Okay.
Isn't that for ourselves?
Okay. We are going to unpack each one of these. This gift of faith is not talking about the faith that you have to get saved, okay? It's not talking about faithfulness that's listed in Galatians chapter 5 as a fruit of the Spirit. This is a different dispensation of faith. It is just like Ashley talked about the difference between prophecy, mm-hmm. okay, and the office of a prophet. These are differences, okay? And we're going to unpack them one at a time. They're different,
so
amen? But excellent question.
As Carly teaches, then be sure to write your questions in the comments, and at the end of Carly's teaching, I'll ask her the questions.
Amen. So there's a couple of scriptures, you know, because the spiritual gifts are for the profit of the body, for the building up, for the equipping of the saints, okay, then I want to look at how they apply to ministry, because the gifts are equipping us as ministers. Amen. They're equipping us as ministers. And we're all called to minister, mm-hmm. right? We're not all
Amen.
Called to the fivefold, but we're all called as ministers. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, ministers of the new covenant, okay? In verse 4, it says, we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to take credit for anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant. Able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we are called to be ministers of the new covenant. You know what? We have an old covenant and we have a new covenant.
Come on.
You are new covenant believers. That means when you receive Jesus as your Lord, you became participants of the new covenant. Amen. The good thing about a new covenant, it says this in Hebrews, is it's better than the old covenant. It's based on better promises.
Amen.
So we are ministers now on the finished side of the cross, the finished work of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
The gift of the Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. And we are ministers of this new covenant. And it's God who makes us sufficient. Now, this is really important because oftentimes we'll look at ourselves, and I mentioned this before, but we'll look at our weaknesses and our insecure. We're more familiar with our own weaknesses sometimes than other people's.
We live with ourselves, so we often, often pick our own weaknesses.
But God makes you sufficient.
Come on.
Someone needs to say that. I am sufficient.
I'm sufficient.
As a minister of the new covenant.
I'm sufficient.
Okay?
Come on.
And it's Jesus that makes you sufficient. He makes you sufficient. He makes you more than enough. Amen. He covers your weaknesses, amen. And so he makes you able to minister. And what creates the power of God on the inside of you is these gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? So this is the power of God in you. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, I mentioned this before, and we talked about this in previous lessons. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. That is talking, the fruits of the Spirit is talking about your character, your nature. You know, you have faith is part of your nature, it's part of your character. But when we're talking in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the power of God. This is where the gift of faith is different from the faith that you have as your character, as part of your new nature, of your born again self.
Come on.
This is a power gift. The faith that is mentioned as part of the gift of the Holy Spirit is a power gift. Okay, that's the difference. So let's look here at the gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. The diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Differences of activities, but is the same God who works in all and through all. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all, and it lists them here. And I want us to understand this. I believe one of the reasons why it makes this distinction, and it says that it's the same God that works in all and through all, is because as the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through us, they're going to be packaged with our personality.
Okay.
Then remember, the Spirit flows through us, and it's using our flesh suit.
So it doesn't just take over us.
It comes out as us. And so this is why it was necessary to differentiate this. You know what? These things are going to look different, is what the author's saying here, Paul's saying here. You know, there might be different activities. There might be different offices. There may be different ministries. But behind it, even though all these things might look different according to the people that are operating them, it's the same God.
Come on.
It's the same God that is the power behind
it.
Right?
Amen.
And you'll see this in the way that people ministered. Mm-hmm. You know, when Jesus ministered in the Gospels, he didn't minister the same way to every time.
Right.
He ministered differently to people because people are different and they receive differently, right? Mm. Wasn't a cookie cutter approach.
Right.
And that is why we have diversities of gifts. Because some people, you know, you could speak over them a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge and it's going to cut to the heart.
Right.
It's just going to be what they need to hear in that moment. But other people, then you're going to need to show them in the Word. They're going to be ministered to because they need to hear the Word of God. They need to have understanding that a teacher is going to bring, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's going to look different according to the personality, the flesh suit that it's operating through, right?
That's right.
And you'll see this even in differences in ministers. In the way that people minister, the way that I minister to people is not the same way that you minister to people.
Right. Yep.
Right?
It's for our, God uses us. He He uses people.
Yep.
He uses you. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. So when you minister to people, yeah, it's going to come across differently.
Yep.
And these gifts, they can operate differently. There's not, again, like we said at the beginning, this is not such a black and white thing. Sometimes you're not going to be able to know what spiritual gifts were in operation there, exactly what was going on there. You know, sometimes it's not going to be this black and white, but it's helpful to understand what the main nine are, what's going on here, so that when you see that operation happening, or when the Lord uses you in that operation, you think, oh, that was the gift of this. That was the gift.
Amen.
You know what? That was a gift of, that was the word of knowledge I had for that person, or that was a word of wisdom I had for that person. It's good,
yeah,
to know that.
Or it
that is. Discerning of spirits. So.
And God's not asking us to change our personality in order for Him to work with us.
Come on.
Right?
So
He's
good.
Not asking us to be somebody that we're not.
Come on.
He's just asking us to be available. To be available.
So we don't have to put on like a spiritual voice,
right,
when we give a word. Thus saith the Lord.
The Lord God.
Da.
Right? The Lord God.
God da. You know? So we're not making fun of people. We're just saying sometimes people think you have to get, I used to think that, I've got to get spiritual now. Now, these gifts, really, the people that operate, mm-hmm, these gifts, it should be a natural thing. You should,
yeah,
be, you should be supernatural naturally. Come on.
Amen. And remember, these gifts are predominantly in us to build up other people, to help other people to receive healing, miracles, words. Yeah. It's for their edification, exaltation, and comfort. Mm-hmm. It's for the building up. It's for the equipping of the saints.
Come on.
And so we need to understand that when we see the gifts flowing through us, they have to be motivated by love.
Come on.
They have to be motivated by love, because otherwise, you know what? If you're a prophet, you can prophesy.
Right.
You can speak a word of wisdom. You can, mm-hmm, you can place a demand on the spiritual gift that is operating in you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not doing that in love, you can actually cause a lot of harm.
Ooh, come on.
You can cause a lot of harm. If your motivation is to, and you know, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Come on.
Right? So you can operate in a gift, but if it's not motivated by love, I tell you what, God gave me this example, right?
Yeah.
It's like a surgeon and an anaesthetist.
Okay.
You know, you've got the patient on the table, and the surgeon, you know, they may be operating in a gift. They're gonna get in there with the scalpel. They're gonna cut the cancer out. They're gonna give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. They're gonna cut to the heart. But if we're not motivated by love, it's like doing the surgery without an anaesthetist.
Ouch.
And that person is going to feel pain, and they're probably not going to survive.
Ouch.
Right? They could die on the table. It doesn't matter how accurate that gift is, how skilled that surgeon is. If they're not motivated by the love of God, if the surgeon just wants to get in there and operate with a gift that is just like, well, look at me. Look at this pony show going on over here. Aren't I so good? Aren't I so wonderful? Look at me. Aren't I so powerful and anointed? Right? What's going to happen is you're going to cause more harm than good, and that patient could die on the table. They might not survive the surgery.
That's so true. I think it's so interesting that after the gifts, Paul goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Right, the love chapter.
He goes into it, and then without love, without understanding how much God loves you, and having that motivation to love others, which comes from how much you realize God loves you.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing this in love, these gifts are like, you know, they're like a resounding cymbal, right?
They are.
It's like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal.
Yep.
And they're not going to, in fact, they could actually be tearing down rather than building up.
Right.
If they're not operating in love, praise God. So
absolutely.
It's important to understand that really love is got to be the motivator. Everything's got to be done. All these spiritual gifts have to be done in love, through love. That's how faith works, right? Faith works by love.
Yep. He actually says this in 1 Corinthians 14:26. He says, let all of these things be done for edification, for the uplifting.
Yeah.
We want people that meet us to leave us better than when they found us.
That's good, Carly.
Right?
Come on, say it again, Pastor.
So when they encounter us, they need to encounter the love of Christ, the love of Jesus flowing through us. Amen. And you know what? If you love people first, then you're going to have the right motivation.
So good.
You're going to have the right motivation.
Amen.
So in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Mm. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, okay? And so this is let's get into these different gifts here. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, earnestly desire the best gift. earnestly desire the best gift, yep. right? And yet I show you a more excellent way. So when we understand how much God loves us, we're going to want to naturally understand more of Him and experience more of Him and more of His power flowing through us. And we're going to want to make ourselves available for Him to bless other people.
Right.
So as we draw into that love relationship, that intimacy with Jesus, let me tell you, you're not going to have to try and force a gift out.
Right.
It's going to come. Gifts operate naturally in the life of believers that are connected in an intimacy with Jesus.
Right.
And actually, the fact is, we minister to other people out of the overflow of our relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be, you know, we want to be people of faith and power, right?
Come on, faith and power.
Right? But if we're not people of love, we're not going to be people of faith and power.
That's good, Carl.
Right? So we need to understand that it's Jesus first, and it's out of that relationship flow these spiritual gifts. It's not gifts outside of relationship. That's backwards.
Amen.
Right? It's inside.
Amen.
Romans 12:6, I think you read this, but it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Right? And Galatians 5:1 says faith works by love.
Amen.
Okay? Yep. So it takes faith to operate in spiritual gifts. This is crucial that we understand this. It takes faith. It takes that trust and confidence that we have, as mentioned in Galatians 5. We have faith. We have the faith of Jesus on the inside of us.
Amen.
Right? It takes faith to operate in spiritual gifts. Why does it take faith to operate in spiritual gifts? Well, if God is going to download to you by the power of the Spirit, a word of wisdom,
right.
a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, you know what? It takes faith to be hearing from God in the first place, to understand that, hang on a minute, I think God is speaking to me, and then to step out in boldness and say, brother, I think the Lord is saying this about you.
Right. It takes faith to do that.
It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to open your mouth and speak a word of tongues.
Yep.
It takes faith to stand up in the body of believers in a congregation and then give the interpretation for that tongue.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
It takes trust and confidence in God. It takes boldness. To be able to do that. It takes our cooperation. So these gifts, they operate by faith. And you have faith, don't worry.
Amen.
So let's look at these individually. We said we would. So first of all, and we're going to give you, this isn't exhaustive, but we're going to give you some practical examples of these gifts so that you can see and recognize them. I believe that you'll look back and you'll realize that, hang on a minute, I operated in a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. I didn't even realize that I did, but now I can see that practical application, okay? So first one is a word of wisdom. Now, a word of wisdom is a specific piece of knowledge revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, something that you couldn't otherwise know, particularly that it pertains to something in the future. So something in the future, a word about the future that you couldn't otherwise know in the natural, okay? And it could be, you can even see these in your own life.
Right.
So and I was praying for our family before we moved to America, and God gave me a specific word. Your family is going to move to America. And you're going to go to this particular church, and Ashley is going to learn, especially from the pastor there. So, Caris Christian Center, because Ashley is going to study under Pastor Lawson Perdue. That was a word about our future that I wouldn't otherwise have known for our family.
Right.
Right? That was a word, an example of a word of wisdom.
Yeah, the future, knowing the future. You know, a lot of the Old Testament, if not all the Old Testament prophets would operate in this gift.
Yep.
It's a word of wisdom. It's a word in the future. A lot of the times, if someone operates in the spiritual gifts, the word of wisdom, people will label them a prophet. You're a prophet. You're in the office of a prophet. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make a prophet being operating in the word of wisdom, but prophets do operate in that gift of the word of wisdom. And yeah, these things, and we need to talk, we're going to do a lesson or two, or maybe more, on hearing the voice of God, because you have to hear the voice of God to operate in the word of wisdom. But word of wisdom is powerful, especially when you're ministering to someone, because you're helping them and you're showing them things to come, or showing them what the Lord would like to do in their life. So it's powerful.
Yep, and this can be really huge, actually.
Yep.
And how is this different from the word of knowledge? Well, they're similar in lots of ways.
Second one, word of knowledge.
Right, word of knowledge. So remember, this is often, this is a word, or it's not necessarily a whole book, right? So you might have a piece of it. words, a phrase, a piece. It's not necessarily a full discourse, a roadmap of their life, but it's a piece, and we need to understand that, because the word says we know in part and we prophesy in part,
right?
And so a word of wisdom is a word, it's similar to a word of knowledge. It's a piece of information that is supernaturally revealed to the heart by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But this time, particularly, it pertains to usually the present tense.
Right.
Or maybe even the past, the present or the past, okay? So this is a revealed fact about a person, place, or thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can expose something, it can help recover something,
yeah.
And it can even warn you about something or show you something that you need to know.
Right.
Okay.
So it's present or past.
Present or past.
For example, this Jesus at the well talked to the woman at the well, and he mm-hmm. said, you know, he knew her part. He said, you know, right, he knew her instant. Right.
John chapter 4.
Yep. You haven't got one husband. Now you've got multiple husbands, and you've had multiple husbands, and you know this is what's happening back at home. He knew those things. That's a word of knowledge he operated in, right there. A word of knowledge. Peter and Cornelius mm-hmm. in Acts 10. That was a word of knowledge. What's happening right now is a word of knowledge, basically.
You know, you think about, this is in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. You know, he told this woman, you know, that you've had five husbands and the one that you're living with now is not your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a word of knowledge, and it was so important. She actually went back to the village and she said, come and see the man that's told me everything I ever knew, basically. That was enough. It was a dinner bell for the gospel,
right?
It changed that woman's life. It got her attention. I'm thinking a while back now, I prayed for a lady and she came for healing and she didn't want to tell me what was wrong with her.
Right.
She'd had multiple, you couldn't see what was wrong with her from looking at her. It wasn't obvious. But she was just really, she'd been sick for such a long time, it really kind of hindered her faith.
Right.
She was even starting to wondering if God was real, and if he was, did he care, did he love her? All of these questions were coming up. And so in her heart, she said, Lord, I'm gonna go to this meeting and I'm not going to tell him what's wrong with me. You're going to have to reveal it to them, because I don't even know if you're real or if you're listening to me or if I'm even talking to myself. And so, you know, she said to me, no pressure, right? But she said to me, I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with me. If the Lord's real, he's going to have to reveal it to you. So, you know, the best way to get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is pray in tongues.
Right.
Pray in tongues, right? Listen, you can't get this. This is wisdom that comes from God that you couldn't otherwise know for yourself. And so I just spent a few moments praying in tongues, and the word that just came to me in my head out of nowhere.
Right.
Right? This is one way you can tell if the Lord is speaking to you. It's not part of a train of thought.
Right.
But I had the word liver.
Okay.
Just came to the word liver. And so I just said to this woman, look, you know, as I was praying, just the word liver came to me, and I feel like there might be something wrong with your liver. Just as simple as that. And she said, she just started crying. She started absolutely bawling. And it turned out that indeed she had a liver disease, and it went on. We prayed for her and she was able to receive healing. But what that meant to that woman in that moment was that God was real, and that he was listening, and that he did hear her prayers, and that he did love her. And that just that, that just was so overwhelming, it confirmed her faith to her.
Yeah.
So you see how words of wisdom, words of knowledge are very practical. They're very practical, amen. And they will stir up faith in somebody to a point where they can receive a healing, they can receive from God, they can receive clarity and direction.
Yeah.
They can even be kind of like really shaken to the core about, you know, I think the Holy Spirit is very gentle. Sometimes he will use words of wisdom, words of knowledge to bring conviction to somebody.
Right.
Okay, now we have to be really careful here. Not condemnation, because if you're in a public meeting and you call out somebody's sin in front of everybody, you know what? Love covers a multitude of sin.
Amen. Come
right?
On.
Love covers. But the Holy Spirit will gently bring correction to people.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's trying to bring them conviction, he's trying to lead them into all truth. And he's trying to basically arrest their flesh sometimes
mm-hmm.
so that they can be delivered from a life that's destructive, right? So words of wisdom, words of knowledge. The gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith is an unusual one, but in the Amplified, it calls this a special faith.
Right.
Right?
Special.
This is like, this is a different kind of faith. This is the ability to believe that God's going to act on our behalf.
Right. And we're not talking about saving faith.
No.
We're talking about just our faith, our relationship with Jesus.
This is not faithfulness
special.
That's
right.
In Galatians 5.
Right.
This is specific, right? Not every believer is going to be operating in the gift gift of faith, but everybody's going to have faith to believe and receive. You know, the faith that we're talking about in Mark 11, right? You speak to the mountain. Yeah. If you have faith and you believe, you're going to receive. That's a different kind of faith. Yeah. Different
tongues,
kind.
You know, tongues is your personal prayer language with tongues is for every believer all the time. The spiritual gift of tongues, which we're going to look at, that's just sometimes, that's a gift that comes upon us.
And it's important because, you know, our trust and confidence, the faith that we have in Jesus, is what we're relying on to get our prayers answered,
right? That's right.
And if we had to rely on a gift of faith to get our prayers answered, it would be very ineffective because it's only going to pertain to a few people. Everyone can believe God and receive. That's everyday faith, right? This is not the same. This is a special dispensation of faith given by the Holy Spirit for a specific assignment. Right. It operates very strongly in the realms of protection and provision. Mm-hmm. And you can see this in the scripture, Daniel in the lion's den, okay? So it is the ability to believe that God is going to act on your behalf. And the reason it's different from a lot of the other gifts here is it really doesn't involve us doing very much, if anything at all.
That's right.
Okay? It's just a special ability to believe that God's going to act on your behalf. When Daniel went into the lion's den, didn't say that he spoke a word. He didn't speak to the lions and command their mouths to shut. He didn't have supernatural strength.
He didn't kill the lions like Samson did or like King David did. That was a different
Right. I believe that was a working of miracles.
That's a working of miracles. Okay. He just sat down and just And the lions didn't kill him.
Right, and so God protected him. Mm-hmm. You can think about Elijah and the ravens. God told him, the prophet, go to the brook Cherith and the ravens. I have instructed the ravens to come feed you there. Yep. And so out of faith, that the only thing that he had to do was go to the place.
Right.
And then ravens. He didn't speak to the ravens. He didn't have a raven whistle. Right?
A raven whistle.
Okay.
Do you have to command the ravens?
He didn't command the ravens. The ravens supernaturally, because of this gift of faith in operation, the ravens provided that food. And you know, that's not natural. Ravens are going to eat the food normally, right? They're not going to drop it off to the person. This was a gift of faith in operation. And you can see many different examples of that, okay? And it'll operate very strongly in the area of protection as well, protection and provision. I've seen this in our own life.
Yeah.
And you'll often see the gift of faith operating in a realm that's combined with the working of miracles.
Yeah.
So somebody being raised from the dead, you've got faith and miracles in operation there. Okay, there's a combination.
Faith and the gift of faith and the working of miracles often get twinned together.
And that's a really important point because often you just naturally see these gifts come in pairs. Not always, but often. Okay, not always, but often. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, they often pair together. Actually, faith, healing, and miracles, they're often grouped together. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, they're often grouped together. Okay, you'll often see these come together.
Spirits and prophecy.
Yep, you'll see these come together. And so I'm just thinking in our life, we had a situation one time where we had a disgruntled employee that actually got involved with some like local mafia type people. I'm trying to really condense this story, but basically sent this heavy mob round to our house, and they tried to break into our house. Ashley was away, I was at home with a newborn, a one-year-old and two-year-old children, and I'm at home and I'm praying, and I hear that people are trying to break into the house, and they're trying to get into the front door of our house, being very threatening, telling me they're going to burn the house down, all of the gory details of what they're going to do to me, because they believed that I had money that we owed them. It was a debt that was passed on by these mafia people, and they'd come to collect it. It was not true, but they were very convinced. And you know, in that moment, as I opened the door, this gift of faith, I mean, it was like tangible. And you'll see this evident in people because it sounds like authority.
Right?
You can almost see this manifest in people. They sound very authoritative, and they have a boldness that comes upon them that's not natural in that moment.
Right.
It's a boldness you'll see in that moment. This boldness came upon me, and as I stood in the doorway, this man looked at me, and I started speaking back to this man just in my normal voice, and it was like with every word that came out of my mouth, it was like I was throwing a punch at him. And he went from being the aggressor to being completely intimidated by all 5 foot of me, right? And actually, as I spoke, every word I spoke, he started to stumble backwards like he was literally being hit. There was nothing going on that you can naturally see. This was the gift of faith in operation. He stumbled backwards down the driveway and actually took off running. Turned the whole situation around. Let me tell you.
I wish we had a video. I wish we had like one of those Ring doorbells. We could have seen that. We didn't back then.
Would have been fascinating.
Security footage.
Would have been fascinating. Let me tell you, that dispensation, that gift of faith in that moment didn't stay with me after that. And right. and actually, once that moment was over, you know, the reality of what hit me was kind of like, oh my goodness, right? And I was a puddle on the floor. Yeah. But in that moment, that was the gift of faith in operation. So
that's right.
It's
awesome.
For our. It's
and
for
I don't
our,
want to go into another subject, but you know, I believe often in this gift of faith, angels are involved.
Yep.
You know, we'll talk about angels another time, but you know, we don't have to command angels and all that, but angels be involved. So maybe there was a he saw a big guy there.
He saw something
and, like,
in the natural, in the supernatural,
and
for sure.
Out, you know, and maybe Daniel the lion's den. Maybe there's angels who shut the lion's mouths. But so this gift of faith is something that's powerful because protection and provision is powerful. Faith.
Amen. Amen. Right. The gift of healings. Notice that this is plural, okay? It's not the gift of healing, it's the gift of healings. Now, one question that comes up often, and I don't know, if this is true, I think it's awesome, but I can't prove it in the Word of God, okay? So, but I'm going to throw it out there because people believe that there is 39 roots of disease and Jesus took 39 stripes, and so they believe, some people, that there might be 39 gifts of healings. I don't know if that's true. If it is and you can show me in the Word, I'd be fascinated to see that, if you can show me in the Word, okay?
It makes sense,
but I just can't prove it, okay?
But it's definitely healings, it's plural.
But it's definitely, plural. Definitely plural, and you might have noticed this, even in your own life, sometimes if you've prayed for a lot of people, you might find that you see more success when you pray for certain things than you do for others. Mm-hmm. You see it seems to be like every deaf person you see is healed. Every person that you pray with infertility is restored. Every person you pray for a cancer or bones or whatever. And certainly in my life, I've seen particular gifts of healings. And you know, it's interesting to note those things because there is, you know what, the Holy Spirit works through us and he works through our flesh too. We mentioned this, right? And so when you start to put the puzzle pieces together and you allow the Holy Spirit to highlight these things to you of where these things have operated in your life, you'll actually in your flesh have more boldness and confidence in that, in stepping out and placing a demand on that gift than you did before, because now you understand, oh, hang on a minute, this isn't a coincidence. Right. You actually start to earnestly pursue and desire those gifts, okay? So look back at your life and the people that you've prayed for and see if you can see patterns. Maybe it's a gift of healings that is in operations, okay? And it does make a difference, and there is a supernatural power that is released that goes beyond just our authority. It goes beyond. You can pray for sickness and disease with authority, right?
Amen.
But if you see that there is a power gift of healings and operation when you see, like, when you see this pattern. Does that make sense?
Yep, definitely.
That is the gift of healings.
Gift of healings.
Okay, working of miracles.
Come on.
Is our next gift. And, you know, we've just done a whole series on that, so I would encourage you to go back and view that on the working of miracles. It's just that. It's the working of miracles, okay? So this, it does something. It's working. It's active. There is a part where we need to get involved in it. I'll show you an example of a working of miracles in the Old Testament. Is Moses parting the Red Sea? Okay, it is a suspension of natural law. A suspension of natural law, right? And so it takes our involvement. There is something in the working of miracles where God starts with something natural,
right,
and a supernatural ability, a supernatural power gift is released in connection with that starting point of a natural element.
Yep. Yep.
So the water into wine. Jesus took a natural element. The working of miracles transferred it into another element.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The parting of the Red Sea. Multiplication of fish, feeding the 5,000, the widow woman, and the prophet with the oil that didn't run out, or the meal the multiplication of things. That is the gift of miracles, but it's something God puts his super and he meets our natural.
Yeah, it's a working of miracles. Mm-hmm. So every time you see a working of miracles, Old Testament and New Testament, the people had to do something in the natural first. They had a word from God and they started to do something, and then that turned into a working of miracles, turned into a miracle, but it's a working of miracle, especially in the area of provision. So, you know, like in Luke 5, the supernatural catch of fish, you know, they had to cast in their nets at a word from Jesus, and there was a supernatural working of miracles, catch of fish. Like I said, 2 Kings 4, the widow woman, the oil, she had to get the empty vessels, pour the oil out. Then there was a working of miracles as the oil poured out.
Yep.
Sometimes we think working of miracles, that miracles are just going to drop from heaven. No, usually there's a part to play. Usually we have a part to play. We have to put our hand to something. Even Jesus gave people to do, stretch out your hand. You know, the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. He had to do an action. Yeah, yep, it's a working of miracles.
It is. And, you know, supernatural strength is an example. This is how you see, you know, you can hear testimonies of people supernaturally lifting cars off of small children and, you know, strength just comes upon people. Samson in the Old Testament pushed the pillars over, right? And how he killed all those animals with the jawbone of a donkey. That's the working of miracles. Yeah. That is, he's not just buff. He hadn't just been working out, okay?
He probably was buff too, Samson.
Right?
But it was more than that. Amen.
But it was more than
David,
that.
King David, King the lion, and the bear, probably the working of miracles as he did that. And the gift of faith probably at the same time.
Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He went and he killed like hundreds of the prophets of Baal with the sword. One man. You know what? That takes such physical strength. I believe that was a working of miracles, that supernatural strength. And sometimes it's hard to see. People ask this question, what is the difference between a miracle and a healing? Let me tell you, a healing is a process, a natural process that already occurs in the body. Our bodies are designed to heal, okay? And when somebody received a miracle, a gift of healing, it's a supernatural speeding up of a process that's already in the body.
Right.
Body was already created to heal, but sometimes that is sped up supernaturally to a point where it looks instantaneous, okay? A miracle is that suspension of natural law. So it's creative in its power. It has a creative power to it. So, for example, if somebody is missing an organ or they're missing a limb and that grows back, this giving sight to the blind, right? If somebody had no eye there, or that was completely blind, no amount of repair would make that eye work. There is a disconnect, something that is severed, right? That grows back. That is a miracle.
Yeah.
And you know, the great thing is we don't need to know whether we need a miracle or healing. The answer is always Jesus.
So the answer is the same. Whatever the problem,
the answer is still
the same.
It's
Jesus. And like you said, with all these spiritual gifts, we don't have to be so black and white. As the Holy Spirit wills, He'll give us what we need.
He'll give
when
us
we need it.
What we need.
Number six.
Okay, so prophecy. So you mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. This is the simple gift of prophecy. Okay, this is a simple gift of prophecy, and this is talking about comfort and edification, exhortation. Mm-hmm. This isn't talking about telling somebody their future.
Right.
This isn't talking about word of knowledge.
That'd be word of wisdom if Steve uses that. The prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Okay, and so it's a simple way of hearing the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to speak through a simple prophecy. Okay, it's a supernatural message, but you become the spokesperson for God.
That's
so
good.
Supernatural message, you become the spokesperson. It's an inspired message by the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord God of heaven," right? In order for it to be a word of prophecy. Okay.
Cool.
God, Jesus didn't speak in King James.
Right.
And we need to be careful when we're operating in spiritual gifts. Like I said, we've got to be motivated in love. In the scriptures, it says we know in part and we prophesy in part. And understand that when we operate in spiritual gifts, the spiritual gift flows through our personality and our flesh.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're going to get it wrong.
Right.
Why? The Holy Spirit isn't saying the wrong thing, but sometimes we are practicing in how we're hearing it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It takes faith to pray in spiritual gifts. And I believe you earnestly desire, you pursue spiritual gifts, and the more that you do that, the more clarity comes in the hearing and the more grace in the delivery.
That's so good.
And amen.
You know, if you're giving someone a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or a word of prophecy, then you know it's always good that I think to say something like, "I think the Lord is saying this."
Yep.
You know, and first of all, ask permission to give someone a word.
That's good.
And ask them permission, and then say, "I think the Lord's saying this." And I'm okay with saying, you know, I might be wrong, I might be right. I think the Lord's saying this, because like Kylie said, we're working. This is, you know, we're practicing these things, we're working these things, and to hear God's voice takes faith. And sometimes we miss it.
Yep.
Sometimes we miss it, so it's good to say, I think God's saying.
And any prophet, this is a warning shot here. Anyone that claims to be a prophet that says they never miss it, run the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
Run Amen. The other way, Amen. Okay? Because
I
you
never
know what?
Miss it. You need, especially any prophet that tells you need to marry this person. Or you need to marry me, and I never. You run the other direction.
So simple prophecy. This is important. It's for comfort and edification. It's not fortune telling. It's not telling the future, and it needs to be confirmation.
Yep.
Right. So if this is important as well on how to receive a word of prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone gives you a word of wisdom, word of prophecy. Understand the nature of the person that it's coming from. That God is working through flesh, and let it be a confirmation to you. You know, it's okay to take a word that somebody else has given you and say, Holy Spirit, will you reveal the truth in this to me?
Right.
Okay? You're not immediately discounted it, but you're not immediately receiving it either.
Right.
Okay? So the Holy Spirit will bring confirmation. He'll confirm the word to you. He'll confirm it with his word to you. Amen?
Yeah.
This is not blind obedience.
Amen.
This is really important. And when we get to the section of hearing from God, we'll really unpack
we're
that more. Because I think sometimes people have thrown spiritual gifts out because they've been abused.
Yeah, there's been abused.
Right?
People have told you things that aren't from the Lord, and you've got an act on those things that haven't worked out. That's because it wasn't from God in the first place. And for me, 9 times out of 10, when someone gives me a word of prophecy, especially in this area of spiritual gifts prophecy, it's been confirmation of something that the Lord's already been talking to me. And the times it hasn't been, and I've tried to put it on the shelf, I'll put that on the shelf and I'll think about it. I'm not going to act on that. We act by the word of God, we act with our own personal relationship with the Lord. So really, prophecy should be a confirmation of what's going on. And if it's not, either put it on the shelf or ignore it and don't do anything with it. And then maybe later on, a year later,
it'll come back.
Someone told me about that. Yep.
Yep. So, you know what? There's no expiration on the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. There's no expiration. It's going to come
seven.
Around. Number seven, the gift of the discerning of spirits. Now, this is the supernatural ability to see into a spirit realm. And it's not necessarily, people look at this and they say, well, you just, you know, this is the gift of discernment. No, there is no gift of discernment, okay? It's the discerning of spirits, right? This does not replace common sense, okay? That's different. And it's not only the discerning of evil spirits. It's also not the gift of suspicion. Okay, right? This has been quite abused, I have to say. And so it's not the discerning of people, it is the discerning of spirits. Now we have a human spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have evil spirits, okay?
Right.
So it's the discerning of spirits, could be any of those
Spiritual
activity. So, you know, you can, God will flow through you in this, and I'm going to give you an example of how you can discern a human spirit using the discerning of spirits, okay? You look at somebody's telling you something, and you just know that they are not telling the truth.
Right?
And you just know, you have a feeling in your knower, like, you know, it all sounds right, but I feel like they're blagging it. I don't know what it is.
They're lying.
Right? Right? I just don't feel like they're telling the truth.
No.
Or somebody could be telling you something completely, like, off the chain, but the Lord just shows you, you know what? That's absolutely the truth.
Yeah.
I can discern that spirit behind that. Mm-hmm. I can discern that motivation behind that. I can know whether they're telling the truth, whether they're telling a lie, whether they're pure of heart.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord says about David, there's no guile in him.
Right?
They're pure in their motives. They're pure in their intentions. There's no hidden agenda.
Right.
The discerning of spirits would also be between literal spirits, okay? So you can discern whether somebody's been motivated or whether there is an evil spirit, there is a demonic influence behind something or not.
Yeah.
Or whether, you know what, something's going on, you're like, that's the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's an inner witness. That's
the
word from God, right?
Yeah.
That is God speaking himself. This is the discerning of spirits, amen?
Yeah.
And it's important.
You know, some people, if you're around someone of the opposite sex, might like creep you out or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's often the discerning spirits.
Yep.
So women, if you think like this guy just creeps me out, then it's probably because they've got a spirit working in them, there's a motivation behind them, and that's why a discerning spirit. It's important to believe that. That's why when you have children, don't let children, you know, if you say, you know, give so-and-so a kiss and they don't want to, sometimes it's good to leave that
don't
alone.
Don't force them to do
sometimes
that.
Sometimes children have nightmares. That can often be the discerning spirits in operation for that child. So
they're picking up things.
Seeing in the spirit realm.
Yep, they're picking up. And you think that's just kids' overactive imagination. Sometimes that is discerning of spirits, especially in your young children. They've grown up in a household of faith. They know and love Jesus. They don't have a junior version of the Holy Spirit.
Come on, Carly.
So listen to that, because sometimes they are picking up things in a spiritual realm that you would easily overlook as parents. Discerning of spirits, okay?
Yeah. Jesus used this like when he spoke to the Pharisees. He said, you're the father, you're the devil. Jesus knew about Judas, mm-hmm. was going to deceive him.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's lots of examples about these in the Word, obviously, New and Old Testament, yep. discerning of spirits. It's powerful.
Okay. And the gift of different kinds of tongues. Now, this is not talking about your prayer language, right? And, you know, actually some good revelation on this one. But it actually says different kind of tongues.
Right.
Okay. And it's the only time in this passage it says different. Right? Different kind of tongues. And I think that's specifically to differentiate where everyone that's filled with the... It says that many times they were all filled with the Spirit and they all spoke in tongues.
Yep.
Okay? So this is not your personal prayer language.
Right. So there's two types of tongues you've got to remember. There's your mm-hmm. personal prayer language. That's for every believer. Every mm-hmm. born-again believer should be Spirit-filled and should pray in their prayer language. Mm-hmm. And that's their own personal prayer language. That's their Spirit or your Spirit praying to God's Spirit. This operation, this gift of tongues is actually God speaking through a believer to someone else or to the body of Christ, to the crowd of people. So it's very different. And this, as we said, as the Spirit wills, the spiritual gifts is as the Spirit wills. So this isn't going to happen all the time. This will happen when God wants to speak through you to a body, you know.
Publicly.
To a body of believers or to one-on-one even. That he speaks through you. So it's God's Spirit speaking through your spirit to give a message. It's not, so that's why Paul said, Paul says a number of times, you know, don't let them all speak in tongues and things like that. Well, not everyone can give a word in tongues operating the spiritual gift of tongues. And not everyone can do that at once. It'd be chaos. But your own private prayer language, your own personal prayer language is different. There's two types. And once you mix them together, that's where people get confused and say, well, I thought only some can pray in tongues and not all people. No, only some can operate in the spiritual gift of praying in tongues as the Spirit wills. But your personal prayer language of praying in tongues is for every believer all the time. As you want to pray in tongues, you can pray in tongues. Praise the Lord. So this is different. This is God speaking through you to people in a message of tongues. Sometimes it will sound with authority when someone prays in tongues, into a body of believers. Sometimes they'll give a few sentences in tongues, and then the next spiritual gift would be
the interpretation of tongues. So if there's going to be a public tongue given, a public different kind of tongue given, is always going to come with an interpretation of tongues. Because if someone just speaks in tongues and there's no translation, it's not going to achieve its goal, which is to bring revelation and edification to the body. Remember, spiritual gifts are for the body. So they're always going to come. So if maybe somebody, sometimes you see this in church, somebody stand up, give a tongue, then you know that's always going to come with an interpretation of tongues. Mm-hmm. And so it's appropriate to wait for that interpretation or to seek the Lord for it. Amen. And so this is not a translation.
Right.
This is an interpretation. So it's not word for word.
Right.
And this is important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there can be more than one interpretation.
Someone give a word in tongues, there can be several interpretations at once. And it's fascinating. And often someone will give a word in tongues and then someone else will translate it or interpret that. And then afterwards find out the person who prayed that message in tongues has been thinking about that already and been praying.
And you can have
both.
They
don't know what they're saying.
It can be the same person that has both.
In fact, if you're in leadership, like if you're the pastor of the church and give a word in tongues and no one else interprets it, you should stand up and interpret it. You
absolutely.
Should put a demand on that spirit. So, you know, if God gave me the gift of praying in tongues, then I could put demand on the interpretation of tongues.
Amen.
And I've operated in this quite a few times. I mean, one time our pastor gave a word in tongues while he was preaching a sermon, right in the middle of his sermon, then walked off the stage and handed me the mic and said, interpret that, Ashley. And as he handed me the mic, I did not have the interpretation.
Right.
But as I walked up on the stage, the Lord gave me the interpretation. So,
amen. Because you had an expectation. You know, if you want the gift to flow through, you have to have an expectation.
Yeah.
Right? It says pursue spiritual gifts. Amen. You had an expectation. In other words, you placed a demand on the Holy Spirit on that gift. And ask for the interpretation. Yep. You know, the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. Yep. Ask.
And also, I believe the leader of the house at that time, you know, Pastor Lawson was leading that meeting.
That was the authority.
He had the word from God that I had the interpretation. Mm-hmm. That's why I knew, you know what, this must be God. That's what God I'm doing.
Amen.
We can't just choose when we're going to turn these spiritual gifts on and off.
So we've given you a real overview there of the spiritual gifts. And I know there's probably a lot of questions. I don't know that we're going to get to all of them. Hopefully, I've answered some of them as we've gone through those. And if you continue to have questions, you can send them in as well.
That's right. Well, let's go through some questions.
And you can ask them in the discussion tab on the learning platform.
So here's one on YouTube. J.H. Carson on YouTube said, so what you're saying is that you can't heal yourself with the authority of believing And he said, I have unbelief. Does that keep me from receiving? Yeah, I can believe for others to receive makes no sense.
No, actually what I'm saying is that we don't heal ourselves with the spiritual gift of healing. We receive healing in our body through authority. Mm. So is it actually the other way around?
Okay.
We have the authority of and believing. That is how we receive healing, not through a spiritual gift of healing.
Amber says on Facebook, she says, so if I pray for ourselves and others and readily see miracles and healings, then do we then have the gift of faith?
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. Yeah.
Quite possibly.
You could be operating in multiple different gifts at the same time. Like I said, faith and miracles and healing are often grouped together. Mm-hmm. Amen. So quite possibly.
Mary Lee says, please stand in faith for the healing and peace of my mum's heart right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mary Lee,
we speak healing to that heart in Jesus' name. Function as it was created to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Chris on YouTube says, so you mean the gift of faith can also be for ourselves, right, in a crisis?
No.
So the gift of faith.
No, listen, this is.
I think this is the story of the, when, you know, in protection, like when the guy came up, the gift of faith was on you.
Okay. Thank you. So this is where the gift of faith, in all of the other gifts they offer, the gift of faith is a bit of an exception, okay? It's the supernatural ability to believe that God is going to act on your behalf. You really don't have much to do with it other than that, okay? Other than just, and I wasn't even necessarily conscious of it, okay? All of the other gifts seem to have some of our involvement with them.
Right.
Yes. So that is a little bit of an exception.
People got hung up on this because Ellis says, Carly had a word of knowledge for herself, but not for someone else.
Word of knowledge for myself.
So a word of knowledge for yourself, talking about when we moved to America and things like that.
No, it was for our family.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
And
I was included in that. But actually, it was more to do with Ashley than it was to do with me.
Carly made a statement about the spiritual gifts aren't for us. I might say that slightly differently. We can disagree, even though we disagree. I would say that you can't rely on the spiritual gifts for yourself. Like, really, you need to rely on your own, on Jesus, on your authority, on your identity. But we're not saying, I don't think Carly's saying this, that the spiritual gifts will never work for you.
Right,
you just can't rely on them.
And sometimes, you know what, you might get, remember as believers, we operate in simple prophecy, which is a special message, okay? Everyone can operate in prophecy, right?
Right.
And so sometimes it's really difficult to see where one is and the other one isn't,
right?
And there is a simple gift of prophecy that is even outside of the gift of prophecy here.
It's good. Lorena on Facebook says, can the gift of faith be used right now in regards to the virus, COVID-19?
Ask the Lord. I mean, you know what? I think we have authority.
I think we have authority. But the gift of faith would as these spiritual gifts are talking about, the gift of faith, as the Holy Spirit wills, when you need it, comes on you, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Remember, it's as the Holy Spirit wills. As
so
the Holy Spirit wills, but we have authority all the time.
So you certainly have authority over your own body, you have authority in your household. I've used authority and said, you know what, this isn't going to affect us, this isn't going to affect our household, this isn't going to affect our ministry and things like that. So I believe you can use your authority, definitely. Mm-hmm. Amber says, I've noticed fertility success after praying, perhaps because I was supernaturally healed from infertility myself. So Amber's saying, about, would that be like a gift of healings, like in some areas? So the gift of healings, if you often see backs healed or fertility and things like that, that can often be a gift of healing.
You know, also it can be just simply that you are bolder in that area, right? When you receive something, you have revelation. Revelation for healing is based on knowledge. So if you've received a healing in an area, you know what? No one's going to get to you've, or you've got the evidence of that healing manifest in your body, which means now you've got boldness and confidence in that area. No one's going to rob you of that and say that it isn't real, because you know it's real. You've experienced it for yourself, right? So when you come to pray for other people, you have more boldness, you have more confidence, you have less natural unbelief to overcome when you're praying for somebody else, right? So it could just be you're simply really operating truly in just the faith that you have in Jesus and authority. Gift of faith could be, you know, it could be more than that. It could just simply be because you have boldness and confidence in that area. So
it's good.
The cool thing about this is it's as the Holy Spirit wills.
Right.
So it's fun to kind of ask the questions, but we don't have to get hung up with it.
Right, don't get hung up with it. And as we pray, the more we pray in the Holy Ghost, the more we're going to find ourselves operating in these gifts. But you know what? We don't have to be so black and white. This is the gift of this, is the gift of that. Just love the Lord, praise God, do the work of the ministry and see what happens. He'll equip you as you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Teapot on YouTube, Teapot1124 says, when I'm praying in the spirit, sometimes God shows me visions about my future and tells me to write it down. Instead of him speaking things to me, he shows me pictures. Is this considered a gift or visions? Is there a gift of visions?
No, I don't. I think honestly, it's just your relationship with the Lord. Remember, that is normal. Mm-hmm. That's part of your normal relationship with God. Hearing from God, letting Him speak to
you. One of the ways God speaks to us. In fact, we'll cover this. Maybe next time we'll cover this about how to hear the voice of God, and we'll cover this on visions and dreams and things like that, and about how God speaks to us, the most reliable ways we can hear from God, and things like that. So that's a great question. But I don't believe there's any gift of visions. I think it's just one way that God speaks to us. Sometimes you might see visions more than others, but that doesn't mean you've got a gift. That's just how you hear from God. Kelsey says, do you guys have some sort of test, this is on Facebook, some sort of test to check our gifts?
You know what, let us look into that, because I'd like to be able to find a spiritual gifts test that really is a good tool for people to use as a guide, as a tool, and only as a tool. Right. Doesn't replace the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Amen.
And if I find one, then we'll share it.
Elle says he needs a miracle right now. And in Jesus' name, Elle, whatever you need right now, we pray for that right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord. We speak healing over your body, Elle. Healing of every organ in your body. Manifest as it was created to do. Sickness and disease, leave your body in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I feel like cancer needs to die in your body.
Yeah, right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Margaret on YouTube says, children and dogs seem to be able to pick things up in people. It's true. It's like they have some sort of discernment. And then CJ on YouTube says that they're believing for their non-verbal grandson, 5.5 years old, to be healed, and he speaks. And last night, he said his first word, amen. His tongue has been unlocked, and he will preach the gospel. Amen. We pray for full manifestation of that healing on your grandson.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Man, we are so excited. If you haven't heard, we have launched a Power Academy sponsorship program. You can go to terridisministries.com/sponsorship. And although Power Academy is going to remain tuition-free, don't worry, it's going to remain tuition-free. You can sponsor. You can actually sponsor other people. You can go on there and start a $50 a month or more sponsorship, and that will enable Power Academy to be able to reach more people.
Yep.
We're going to use them resources to reach more people so that more people can watch Power Academy. We can make it go further, praise God. So sign up and become a sponsor if you want to. There's never any pressure, praise God. This is going to remain free, but you can sign up to be a Power Academy sponsor. We're excited about this. We believe it's great ground to sow into. We've already had people saying they want to sponsor multiple students, so go on there and you can sponsor multiple students, and it's a powerful way of making Power Academy reach the world further, praise God.
Amen.